what would it be like to get a memo from God? Because memos are used in an office environment or a workplace environment to draw a person's attention to something very special, something that's needed or something that needs corrected, correct? That's memos would be that. And so so I was just thinking, you know, in this time of crisis in our nation and in our lives, with everything that's going on around us, is that I wonder what God would say to us. Well, we have His Word, that's for sure, and we ought to be studying His Word. That's one of the things we're going to talk about today. But the first memo would be that if God were to say to us, He would say, "Trust me." We need to trust God. We are to trust God. God is faithful even when we aren't, and He is to be trusted. He's to be trusted with our entire lives. The second memo would be, we need to remember that my heart cannot be trusted. That passage in Proverbs was, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And we talked about the idea and the passage after that says, and it will be health to your navel. And that's interesting to talk about your belly button in church. You know, and the fact that we had a belly button means that we were life support connected to someone else. And this whole idea of remember that our heart is to be guarded because our heart is deceitful, is that we need to be connected to Him. And it is health to us. And then we talked about the idea that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's what we talked about last week in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. And chapter 12 where it says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We usually stop there, but it goes on. It says, looking unto Jesus. And I use that illustration or that saying I saw on a church sign many years ago, discouragement looks down, worry looks around, but faith looks up. And so keeping our eyes fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. So now today I want to continue with this truth. And this is the idea that we are to be a discerning people. A discerning people. If you were to look up the definition of discernment in the dictionary, it's not even a long definition. I typed it in, went on Encarta Dictionary, and it says this, keenly selective judgment. That's what it means. And so what we are about the aspect of making judgments in our life all day long. We live in a day of information overload. Okay? Let's just back up 20 years ago. That would keep just about everybody in the room with the exception of just a handful, right? If we just backed up 20 years ago. If something was breaking news, everybody would stop and listen. Do you realize this? Breaking news is every 10 minutes. Somewhere around the world, and it happens to come to all the different devices that we have. Correct? Well, that's because we have information now that is just at light speed. And so dialogue in our world today is also at light speed. Things don't happen slowly anymore. All the more reason that as a believer trying to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to be developing a discernment in my life or a discerning spirit. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And so what I want to do is I want to start with verse 15 and work backwards. We're going to jump around the passage here a little bit because verse 15, I think, is a very powerful passage in this passage where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other versions put it this way, Be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we're talking about, and here's number one, is this, is diligence is necessary to rightly divide God's word. And so that's where we start with this passage. Now, school is just out, or soon to be out. I was, I was excited for my grandson Blake because, he finished school, but he doesn't know. I think I was a little more excited than him because I was the guy who was helping him with his math and some different things. And so he may be rejoicing, but Grandpa was really rejoicing. So that freed up about, Grandma, I would say that freed up about 2 hours in the evening, correct? For me. And it's just like, yes. and he did well, and I was glad. Okay, but when we think about this word study, that's what we think about. We think about someone poring over something, right? And if you're like me, I never really liked to study in school. Okay, and look at that. The whole crowd's going, a lot of heads going like this. Others, it was just enough. I figured it was just enough for me to sit through the period and not get in trouble. I figured that was enough to pass the course, right? And then all of a sudden, they give tests. And I can remember even when I went to college, I forgot we were having a test the one day and walked into, and the lady said, it was an English class, and the professor said, clear your desk, we're going to have a test. A test! What are you talking about? And so, but when we think of that word study a lot of times, we think about something that is just, that we struggle with and all of this stuff. But really, it's, and if you weren't a good student and you didn't like school, you go, oh, but that's not for me. That's not for me. No, this, what we have to do is we have to look at the idea of diligence. Okay? Study, the Greek word that's used for study here is not the normal word you think of as a student, but a word used of a workman meaning to give diligence, endeavor, or exert oneself. And so study is indeed involved, but do you realize this? Now listen, I want you to hear me on this. You can be book smart and can't make the application. Did I say it right? I may know, but it's until I do that it becomes real. You know what, guys? I'm going to give you a break. You know why? That's why every one of us that set up on Christmas Eve and put a bike together and didn't look at the instructions, we can practice diligence. We exert ourselves. And after you got all the pieces left over and it didn't work out right, then you get the instructions out. Now, I know some guys sitting in here. I have a lot of retired maintenance men in here, and I am so impressed with one of them. And Woody, I would never embarrass you for the end of the world, but this guy reads and understands all that stuff, and that scares me. I think that's wonderful. You have got a gift. He looks at schematics, and they make sense. Watch this. Here's the thing. Watch this. It's off. It's on. And I'm glad. And he can tell you how that happens. So, Woody, I hope I didn't embarrass you, okay? I learned from these guys. You ask them questions. But see, you know what? Diligence is more than just book smart, okay? It certainly takes diligent study of the Word of God to rightly divide it. That's what the passage says. Study, be diligent to be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, dividing this word of truth, meaning this. And Paul was a tent maker, and this word divide is right out of his craft where they would cut animal skins to a pattern and it had to be cut right to fit together. I was looking at a pair of sneakers I had on the other day, and you think, wow, I was looking at all the different processes that took place to bring all of them together. All that stuff needed to be cut and needed to fit together, right? Yeah, exactly. And so that's what that word means. Paul says this, is that, did you know this? First of all, all of the Word of God is true. There are no contradictions when rightly laid out. You cannot add to nor take away from any of it. And that's what it means to cut it straight. It all fits together. So what we see here now is, if you look at the flip side of diligence, we need to be diligent to not misuse God's Word. That would include using God's Word in any way that it was not intended. I did two examples here before we move on, is that the first one would be on the subject of judging or judgment. How many of you, maybe you have been guilty of saying this, and I may be opening a can of worms here, and I don't want to open a can of worms, but did you ever hear someone say, "You're judging me"? The Bible says, "You're not supposed to judge me." Well, is that what the Bible says? I copied three verses onto my notes, so we didn't have to turn. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, Jesus actually says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not that you be not judged." In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, which is Luke's rendition of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven." John, which carries more new content than all the other three Gospels put together, says this, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." So I'm not going to teach you all about judging, only to say this, is that if you think when Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged," that you can't make a judgment, then you are misusing God's Word, because we make judgments every day of our life. You made a judgment whether or not to come to church today. Whenever you desire to put a track, now since we're rediscovering what it means to eat out, eating out means that you leave tips, usually, correct? Okay. That means this, is that if I had a waitress that I knew was a Christian, I would not leave a track on that table, correct? But if I am making a judgment about someone, if I even pray for them, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so enough said. Enough said. I know I opened a can of worms there. I apologize for doing that. But I just want to know that there's a flip side to this idea of being diligent and rightly dividing the Word. Because people say, well, oh, okay. I bought a book about 2 years ago. Larry was with me. We were down at Heinbach store. And so I'm always in stores buying food everywhere, candy and junk. And so I love it. I went to the doctor on Friday, and he said, it was my yearly physical, okay? So, you know, I'm dying slowly, just like you, and I'm dying cheaply, just like you, most of you, okay? And he says to me, "I heard you're fasting." Yeah, so I get my blood drawn. And I had an ache on my side because I'm working on my kitchen, and I hurt myself all the time. Whenever I work, my fingers are bleeding, and do you realize this? You can get metal splinters just from reaching in a box of drywall screws, Woody. And those are the worst kind, because I know I wear glasses, but it's getting harder and harder to see up close. I'm going, every time you touch something, ow, and then you look. Where is that bugger? So I finally found, I got my utility knife and I'm digging it out. So, now anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, blood work. Okay, so I'm sitting there and the doctor, he said, "Okay, we're going to get some blood work." And I thought, and I said, "You know, it hurts on this side." And I said, "That's probably, just a condition." He goes, "Well, it could be appendicitis." Oh, well, that's nice. You know, I don't walk around think I'm dying on a regular basis, okay? But it did concern me. And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He goes, "How's your appetite?" Well, Karen, how is my appetite? My appetite from 5 in the evening till 11 o'clock at night is through the roof. Amen? And I said, "Well, my appetite's good." He goes, "What do you think about right now when I say cheeseburger?" And I said, "Let's go have one." He goes, "You don't have appendicitis." So I was good. So I walked out of there in a mind over matter, because it don't hurt, you know. But anyways, then I told him, I said, "But you know something, Doc? I really like them White Castle sliders that you buy." And he goes, "We got to check your cholesterol." Had nothing to do with the message. I'm sorry. See, you wouldn't hear that on YouTube, because I wouldn't think of that standing here. I only think of that standing over here. Okay, so anyways, I better get going here. We're only on point number one. Okay. So here's what we're doing. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of the passage. And I hope I explained this idea of being diligent. It means more than just opening your Bible, although we need to open our Bible, but it's the idea of making it real in my life, rightly dividing it. Then number two is this, is as we go to the beginning of the passage, Paul is writing this for a reason. He's not writing this just so that we can talk about this on Sundays. He's writing to Timothy. So who's Timothy? Timothy is a young man. He's a young man in the pastorate. See, that doesn't even talk about me anymore because I'm an old man. I'm starting to smell like an old man. I'm starting to act like an old man. I'm starting to walk like an old man, okay? I look in the mirror and I still see a teenager. But that's, I had a big picture cut out and I look at it. But Timothy was discouraged. Timothy was beginning to allow his discouragement to affect his ministry. He was beginning to wonder if he was up for the task of doing what God wanted him to do. Well, you say, well, then this whole book is about pastors. Oh, no. I think it's a very good application for all of us. Because face it, you and I, it's just not the pastors of this world that face the world. Every one of us, every day, face the world. We hear the same thing, do we not? We experience the same thing. Now, sometimes people hold pastors to a higher standard, and that's okay? But I want us to realize that you and I are all in this same boat called life. If you name the name of Christ, this is for us. And this is what he's saying. Look what he says. Thou therefore my son. Well, you say, thou therefore my son. Well, we should back up here to verses 6, 7, and 8 of chapter 1, where Paul says this. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And so he was already encouraging Timothy to be stirred up. He needed stirred up. And then it goes to verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so Timothy needed stirred up. He was a fearful person. And then verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So this is the basis for what he is going to say now in chapter 2. He was a discouraged person. He was to the point where he was ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, wow, I can't believe that. How many times? I just want to bring it up. You don't have to raise your hand. How many times have we had a tinge of embarrassment in our life over the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, it's happened. You say, oh, I can't believe you said that. I had the opportunity on Friday night, me and Larry went and talked to somebody that is his home's being prepared in heaven, but he wanted to ask spiritual questions. He thinks he had a spiritual need. And we sat there. His whole family was there. And you know what? You know what my prayer is at that moment? Lord, help me to get it right. Give me the boldness that I will not be ashamed of you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, but anyways, gotta see where I am. And so what he says here in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's already identified the fact that he was weak. He says, be strong. So we are to be strong, faithful, and enduring believers. And he goes on in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He's telling Timothy, you got to be faithful if you're going to impart things unto other people to be faithful. Yeah, absolutely. And then he goes on and he says this, is that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that brings in this whole idea of endurance. Amen? That's what it is. Watch this. Mark it down. This world will be relentless in bringing, trying to wear us down. Amen? That's right. That's why we're supposed to, let's go back to last week's message. That's why we're supposed to focus on Jesus. Amen? The author and finisher of our faith. That's why we go back to the week before. That's why it's not about trusting our own understanding, but understanding that it is understanding from God that He gives us. And realize that my heart plays a role in this, where I have an inward traitor that my heart can indeed lead me to be deceived. Amen? Come on now, amen? Isn't that wonderful? It's good news to know that. That's why other passages I didn't talk about in those messages. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows shall he also reap. Amen? When we look at the idea that we can deceive ourselves, Paul wrote. And so, let's see where I'm at. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we get this idea of strong, faithful, and enduring, and we could add another part on there, is that we need to live tangle-free. You know, ladies, you get these, they put this stuff on your hair after you wash it. You know, no more tangles. Is that what they call it? Bonnie, is that what it is? Yeah, no more tangles. Conditioner? Yeah. Don't you just, I used to watch my mom call my sister sheriff. Ow! 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 Okay? And so, but watch this. You and I, we're not supposed to be entangled in this world. What does that mean? This world presents itself to us every day. The allurements of this world. And you know what Satan promises? Satan promises you'll find lasting joy. You'll find fulfillment. You will find peace. You will find joy. And you know what? I'm here to say this, is you will find none of them in this world. But you will find them in a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. I like new things. Don't you like new things? I got these pants dry cleaned the other day. And that was nice because I had them dry cleaned and then I spilled something on them. I could have just run in, gravy on here, ketchup on my tie. And say, hey, brother, I'm not entangling myself with this world. No, sir, but I tell you what, I'm not even going to bathe on a regular basis because I don't want to entangle myself with this world. You know what I'd say? You're nuts. Amen? That's right. That's right. But here's the thing. Are we buying into the philosophy of this age? Are we buying into the value system of this age? The priorities of this age? And if you and I are doing that, we are doing that at an expense to our walk with God. And watch this. No joy, no peace, no long-suffering, no goodness, no gentleness, no meekness, no faith, no love. Not that the Spirit gives. And so, then we come to, now we come to this. We're still talking about this passage now. We go back to verse 15. We're talking about this idea of being approved. And it's, notice this. What Paul is saying is that, Timothy, I am not to be the one to approve you. God is the one that we ought to be seeking His approval. So, approval means one has been put to the test and measures up. And so I'll put number 4 since I already talked about that together. Come on, there we go. The approval of God is placed above the approval of man. There's been many times. If you study church history, you will see many times where a person, a man of God, was not even supported by other preachers. Because they sought the approval of God And we have the opportunity, as looking back 100, 200, 300 years, to see how it played out, see who was right. Jonathan Edwards was one of them. And I think I've mentioned this here before. Jonathan Edwards, when he pastored a church that his grandfather was the pastor, he stepped into the pastorate after his grandfather. They had bought into the halfway covenant, which means that people could literally join the church without giving a solid profession of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And because the community wanted to be a part of the church, they just did not want that commitment. And so what they did is they put restraints on their life, but they were allowed to take communion. Jonathan Edwards came in and said, not so. If a person is not saved, they shouldn't be coming to the Lord's table. And you say, watch this. Every one of you, if you agree with that, say amen. Well, you didn't convince me, okay? If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. It's coming around the Lord's table. It's very serious. And you would think that Jonathan Edwards' church would have said amen. 90% of the people didn't believe it. 10% stood with him. They voted him out. Isn't that something? You can read about that. It's history. So who was right? Jonathan Edwards was right. You know why? He sought the approval of God above the approval of man. Amen? You know what? In our day, you say, well, why are you saying all this? Well, I think it's really good to talk about. See, you and I never lived with open persecution. We have lived in relative peace. Oh, every once in a while, someone will get worked up. You know, you stand out front of Weiss Markets and you want to hand tracts out. They'll come out and say, you can't do that. No solicitation on the premises. Stuff like that. But watch this. How did the believers who are living in persecuted places come to the understanding to witness and live for God? We've seen just in the last 2 months in our country that our governing officials can tell us that we cannot meet. Where's the discernment in our lives to take in everything that we're hearing, balancing it out with the Word of God? I was sharing, we had a guy come in and they're looking at maybe starting to video some of the services here, and you know, then they'll hear all my stories and then nobody will really listen to it. But anyways, the young man was talking about Facebook, and he was talking about, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all these different social platforms. People say, well, you know what? We got an inside line. Yes, sir, I'll tell you what. We have YouTube videos on there. You can watch them on our channel. Yeah. Do you know what? That doesn't happen in China because they regulate all that. I am not hollering fire in a crowded theater. But folks, you're only fooling yourself if you don't think that when our government's had enough of us that they can shut us down on every aspect. We just had a glimpse into that. It didn't really happen. We just had a glimpse of that. And we happen to live in an area where we have people that don't necessarily hate us with a vengeance as other people are hated in our own country. Amen? Amen. So you know what I need? You know what? If you and I are going to be discerning, we need to realize this, that we need to seek the approval of God rather than the approval of man. Amen? Come on now, amen? That's why I want to encourage every one of you to do this. I want you to read through the book of Acts. And when I think it was Peter and John went to that man outside the temple and he was looking for an alms, and they said, I don't have anything to give you, but what I will give you is in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And they were dragged into the before the high priest and before, I believe, the governing officials. And they said, we do not want you to preach anymore in the name of this Jesus. And what did they say? We ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. And you know what they did? They walked away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. Amen. Now, I think I mixed up two incidents there, and I should have done a little more study on it so that I could have prove myself smart. But what I want you to realize is, folks, you and I, and this is the idea of developing. See, here's the thing, and this takes us, a correct understanding of God's Word is paramount in developing discernment. Did you ever hear that story where a guy, if this is open to an actual page, I apologize. If you know what page it is, you can go there. I'll put a marker here with that so I don't mess it up. A lot of times what happens is when people are looking to do something in their life, they say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my finger on a verse and I'm going to read it. And that's just what you want from me that day. And you go like this and you say, who is she that looketh forth as the morning fair, as the moon clears the sun and terrible as an army of banners? Well, Lord, now what should I do about that? And I'm going to turn to another passage and put my finger. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. A recompense her according to her work. And what are we doing? We should never be taking the scriptures at happenstance in our lives. Amen? A diligence to study, but not only study, but to apply it. Because I will say this, every day, all day, all week, we will have ample opportunities to apply God's Word in our life. Karen and I were talking this week. See, we actually talked during the week. Yeah. And we were talking together, and I was reminded in that conversation. When I went to Africa, each time I go, I always learn something new. But when you go to Africa, they don't use the word problem. They never have problems. They have challenges. Do you remember me telling you that when I showed my pictures one time? Listen, folks, none of us have problems. And I mean this sincerely. We have challenges in our life. That's what we have. You might say, wow, that's just a play on words. Absolutely not. A challenge, something needs to rise up to help us in the challenges of life. Now, I can choose my own human reasoning, or I can choose the Word of God. Amen? That's where discernment is going to be taking place in my life. Now, what I did is, there's a thing here at the end, and what I did is, what areas right now seem to be of particular importance to all of us in the area of discernment? I would say I've heard people talking end times. My, oh my. I've never seen a world in such chaos, have you? Oh no, this is on people's mind, the end times. What discernment do I need there? How about daily living? How am I supposed to live when people tell me I cannot do something? And I know it's right to do. And then how about this? My relationship with the governing authorities. How am I supposed to handle that? How am I supposed to chat with them? How am I supposed to interact with them? What happens when we don't agree? Okay? Those are just three that I put together for us today. I could have a whole list, but you know what? We're done. We're out of time. I went longer than I should have, and it's only 26 minutes. Is it? Is that clock right? Oh, no, it's noon. 11:26, but let's pray.